break bread and remember the Lord.
This is a highlighter of our belief. We would not be here. We would not have eternal life. We would not be anywhere if it were not for the Lord Jesus and what He did. So we're so grateful to gather at the Lord's table and remember Him to begin our week. Today we have a special brother who's able to come and be with us and share the word. If I destroy his name, I pray he'll forgive me. Devil, I think when I read it, it's partly phonetic. J.S. Underhill.
Is that
good? Thank you. By the way, he's the only brother I ever known from Sri Lanka. Now, that doesn't mean you may go out to get things. So we're welcoming you, brother, to come when you want to work with the Lord's labor in your heart. Glad you meet your wife, Don. Thank you for being here. It's good to see you. We've seen many brothers and sisters. Come.
Thank you, dear brother. Yes, I stand before you with much thanksgiving in my heart, dear brothers and sisters, for this wonderful opportunity given and your openness and welcoming me into your midst. I really appreciate. And we didn't introduce ourselves, just we only stood up there knowing that I'll get the second chance. So I'm coming from Sri Lanka and living in the city, the capital city, Colombo, where we have an assembly there. And the place where we gather is also called the Christian Fellowship Center, which is CFC. So we gather there every Sunday to break bread and to worship the Lord. And we are very happy, myself and Anne, my wife, of 35 years. And we are together serving the Lord. And we have one son who is now about 34 years of age, living with his family in Virginia. And it's our privilege whenever we visit the USA to visit believers as well as our family. And I'll be heading to towards Columbus during the Thanksgiving weekend, starting Thursday morning or Wednesday evening. We will have what we call a holy convocation, where we gather all together as a family of believers, giving thanks to the Lord and gathering there for 5 days together, a kind of a conference where we have the scriptures explained and the great blessing we are expecting. We have this year after year. And I have been visiting this particular gathering since 2012. And it has been a great blessing to me. So, dear brothers and sisters, I came to know the Lord in 1979 out of Roman Catholicism. And that was just a formal religion that I had in my birth certificate. But as a teenager, I was an atheist. But the Lord wonderfully, in His marvelous grace, He saved me and brought me into His fold and His church through the ministry of the Operation Mobilization, led by Brother George Werver, when ship MV Logos visited the Colombo Harbor. And there I went and heard the gospel, and I knew this is something different. I was looking for this. I was fighting against God, but He's actually alive. And that brought great fear and repentance into my heart. And I was born again that night on the 4th of March, 1979. And soon afterwards, I was asked to join this assembly in Colombo, which had started in 1941 as a house gathering. And in early years of our ministry in 1940s and towards the end, there was a great missionary running away from China because of persecution by the name of Daniel Smith. He visited Sri Lanka with his wife. He was running away and he landed in Colombo and he came in touch with this little group of believers. And he was a great blessing to this group of believers. And thereafter, of course, we also had the blessing of receiving dear brother Baksing of India, who came and visited us several times. Now, these all happened before my time. And as I came to the Lord in 1979 and I joined the university and also practical training in marine engineering. And towards the end of it, a four-year period, I began to hear the voice of God through the written word. Whenever I opened it, there was this persuasion of the Spirit that I must leave everything aside and make myself available for Lord's work. So I was struggling on this particular thing, the thought that was coming to me again and again. And I shared it with the elders, and they were very good, stable Christian leaders, spiritual fathers we had. One in particular, Brother D. Alvis, who guided me all the way, and he himself being an engineer by profession, he asked me to wait upon the Lord before you really make up your mind and take the decision. And at this time, somewhere around 1983, I came across two books that made it easier for me to make up my mind. Two books written by the same author. One written in China, the other one written in India. The one that was written in India was Monsoon Daybreak. That was the story of Brother Baksing, late Brother Baksing, starting the ministry. How it all began and how wonderfully the Lord brought them out of traditional Christianity into a living organism, worship group to serve the Lord. And the author of the book, the both books are written by the same person, Angus Kinnear from England. And the second book, almost at the same time, as I visited a family, a Chinese family in Colombo for prayer, they gave me this, the second book. That's the title is Against the Tide. And that was the story biography of Brother Watchman Nee. These two books, I'm just waiting. I'm waiting to meet the author in heaven. By the time I reached England, he had already gone to glory. So I'm waiting to see him one day to thank him. He took all the time, all that effort to write these two biographies. And when I read this story, and I was so moved, I knew if you make yourself available to the Lord can do marvelous things. And that helped me. After reading the second book, I went to my spiritual leaders and said, this is it, brothers. I want to leave my marine engineering career and be available for whatever ministry that I may have to do. My first ministry was to sweep the floor. I was given a broom, so I swept the floor, and then I was promoted to cleaning of the bathrooms, and then there came, after second promotion, was to drive the car. So I became a driver for the aged saint of God who was not able to see and drive properly. So that's how I began. And the Lord has been so gracious and wonderful. His faithfulness is such. Dear brothers and sisters, And I should say some more about that second book, Against the Tide, because I think it is relevant to you somewhat. You know whom I'm talking about. And I wept at the end of the book when I read that Brother Watchman Nee was not able to come back home. His wife was preparing for him to come back home, but it never happened. And I wept. And it really moved me when I read all that story. So, dear brothers and sisters, the Lord wants us to simply be available to God for His work. And this morning, I would like to read with you this plan of God that He has for you and for me, which we In Bible terms, we call it the eternal purpose of God, which is of great value to us. So let me read, first of all, 12 verses from the book of Ephesians and chapter 1. Please come with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. I will read verse by verse up to 12. Please follow in your Bibles. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Gracious, loving, heavenly Father, Lord, we are overwhelmed by what thou hast revealed in the scriptures concerning, Lord, thy eternal purpose for us, sinners saved by the marvelous grace of God. We pray that thou wouldst, Lord, guide us by thy Spirit and quicken thy word in our hearts, that we may see this thy wonderful plan and purpose, thy eternal counsel, wherein thou hast said, my counsel shall stand. Yes, Lord, we want it to be so. We pray that thou wilt, Lord, reveal them to us and help us to be yielded in thine hands, that we may, Lord, be to the praise and glory of thy name, having fulfilled thy heart's desire. Accept our thanksgiving this morning. Open thy word to us. In the name of our loving Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I believe that you will agree with me that we wish that Paul used shorter sentences than this. They are quite long, very difficult to understand. But to put them in the right perspective, let me please read with you another verse from the second book of Timothy, chapter 1, please. Second book of Timothy, chapter 1, in verse 9. This is referring to God and what he has done. Who hath saved us? 2 Timothy 1, 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God hath saved us according to his purpose and grace. Present day Christianity, dear brothers and sisters, have forgotten about the purpose of God. But they are majoring on the grace of God, which is essential. But you find here Paul coupling the two together in 2 Timothy 1:9, according to his purpose and grace. We need to know the purpose unto which we are saved. Just an example that if I am at home, all dressed up in tie and coat, and sit there, and my wife would come to me and ask me, what is the meeting that you are going to attend today? Where are you going? You are all fully dressed up. And if I say, I have nowhere to go, I'm just dressing up very well, and I look beautiful, I'm sitting at home. And it's not going to be very good. My wife will definitely say, please don't dirty these good clothes. Remove them, change them, order your home clothing. Yes, many Christian believers are like that. They have the garment of salvation. The grace of God, his saving grace, has done its work in his life. But they have nowhere to go. They do not know why God has saved them. So this is a hindrance all over Christendom, in many shades of doctrinal beliefs and things like that. We find believers, true believers, they're saved, but they do not know the eternal purpose of God. So they are wasting their time. The enemy has seen to that we do not concentrate, but we major on the grace of God. Oh, how beautiful it is. We talk about it, preach about it, enjoy it. But now, we need to know the purpose. He has saved us according to his own purpose and grace. If I am fully dressed up with the garments of salvation, I need to have a place to go to. I must have that aim. That is the reason why I am dressed up like this. So, it is my intention from the book of Ephesians just to bring before you a collection of thoughts that would be the purpose of God for you and for me. What God had purposed before the world began. That's what in 2 Timothy 1:9 you have that last line, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Only God can do such things. Before the world began, he has given them to us in Christ Jesus. So that's why we call them the eternal purpose of God. Maybe five of them, I may be able to just list them from the book of Ephesians. And then just an introduction only. And you already know most of it. And also you could continue to meditate on them. Let me just come to the first one, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. This is a sentence that the natural mind will reject. God choosing us according to his sovereign will and plan. Man today is rejecting this idea. But God's things are always his ideas are eternal. And it is said here, before the world began, or the foundation of the world. Foundation of the world. He hath chosen us. But the most important phrase there is in him. In Christ, God hath chosen us. So that is the first part of the eternal purpose of God. Whom he had elected, he will also save through the sacrificial death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why in the very first message that was preached in the church on the day of Pentecost, we find Peter boldly standing before that hostile crowd who even crucified the Lord Jesus. He stood up and said, he did not blame them for crucifying the Lord Jesus. Look at what he said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, please. Acts chapter 2 and verse 23. He said, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. No doubt, you have taken him by your wicked hands and crucified and slain. But before you could do that, we find him holding God responsible for what happened on the cross. He says, him being, Jesus being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God. It's not only foreknowledge of God, it is also the determinate counsel of God. So this was an eternal purpose that was in the heart of God. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Here am I, send me, was not just a simple conversation that took place between Isaiah the prophet and God Jehovah at his calling, but it was kind of a vibration of the same thing, echoing of the same thought that happened in eternity past. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Here am I, send me. The Lord Jesus was willing to come. So it is by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. There we find Peter very clearly nailing it down, as it were, saying, God was responsible for all this, for your salvation. It is true that you took him and put him on the cross by your wicked hands, but it was God's plan. So the eternal plan of God, the purpose of God concerning us, firstly, is to save those whom God had elected. God wanted to save them to the uttermost. And that is why this wonderful story of redemption was unfolding. This will bring about various questions in our minds. No doubt about it, because we are human. We don't allow God to be God. We want also to have a part in all the affairs that God may be deciding and doing. We want to have our own say. But we must understand that God is God from eternity to eternity. And he has planned everything. He has every right to choose. He has every right to elect. And the Bible is filled with verses on the election of God. So, dear brothers and sisters, that is the first one, that God purposed in the eternity past to save those whom he had elected. There had to be a way. There had to be a way so that our sins could be forgiven and that we could have a purged conscience by which we could come to God and worship him. And that's exactly what God did. So this is why through Jeremiah, the Lord Jehovah was saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn you. Jeremiah 31:3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. It does not mean only it is lasting forever. Because when it refers to God, it shows something about the whole eternity. God has been loving you even before the foundation of the world. How strong and special that love should be, dear brothers and sisters. This is completely out of this world. We have to sit and think about it. Because of that eternal love, let me tell you that God bore in his heart the sorrow of the death of his son from eternity past. Isn't that so? Yes. He bore the sorrow of the death of his son from eternity past. Because the Lord Jesus was delivered to be crucified by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God. So he knew it. He had counseled it. He had decided about it. So there was this sorrow. The Son of God put on the cross. We ask the question, what have you done? You say that you love us. What have you done? This is it. I have loved you with an everlasting love. This is nowhere in the history of man. You cannot see a parallel. How can we human beings who are just limited to this time understand the wonderful love, eternal love of the eternal God? So because of this, now we are saved. We are now saved. He wanted to save whom he had elected. Now let us move on in this journey of exploring the eternal purposes of God. The very next verse, that is Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. It takes us again to the eternity past. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. The word that many believers, and especially in youth camps, we find this question coming again and again. Say, on a piece of paper sent forward at the question answer time about the predestination of God. We don't like it, but it is true. And we find him having predestinated us to what? This word predestination is always coupled with another thought in the scriptures. Us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Now some of us misunderstand this line as we read further translations of the Bible, different versions of the English Bible. We get confused more and more because it is simplified with the wrong idea in mind. This adoption is not the adoption of a child from another family, the parents not having children, you call that child your child and you get a legal adoption. It is not. Dear brothers and sisters, we are not adopted into the family of God. We are born into the family of God. We are born into the family of God by a new birth accomplished by the Spirit of God. You are born again into the family of God. You are a legitimate child of the Heavenly Father. But then the Bible speaks to us of this adoption. And the meaning, the explanation is given in the book of Romans about this adoption. The word adoption is coming there. And it is clearly given there the meaning in Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8 and verse 23. Verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. That is, to wit, the redemption of our body. This adoption here is not you coming into the family of God. That has been done through the spiritual operation of the Holy Spirit. You are born as a child into the family of God. But adoption is something yet to happen. Paul says, we are waiting for the adoption. To wit, the redemption of our body. This seems to be that public proclamation of your sonship before God. A public proclamation which is yet to come. This is my son. This is my daughter. That public proclamation is going to take place. We find in the scriptures, Jude 24, now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So there is going to be that presentation, dear brothers and sisters. This is a purpose of God, that he wants to present us one day, one by one, And I would like to just add some thoughts to it, like on the platform of the universe, where God, the Lord Jesus, will present one by one his grown-up sons and his daughters. This is where we should be going. This is why we need to be very careful about our spiritual life. We do everything possible that we live in a good, healthy environment of Christian fellowship. This is why the church fellowship in the local church becomes so important, that we may learn how to grow in Christ, so that we may be boys and girls, that is, sons and daughters, not the mere children, sons and daughters, fully grown up. That is why in Hebrews chapter 2, we read, he wanted to lead many sons unto glory. Leading many sons unto glory is the purpose of God. That is why God sent his only begotten son to this world, so that he may be able to lead out of this world many sons unto glory. We must be available to God for his work in our lives, that we may have that transformation in our character, transformed into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that God may be able to see this. So let us allow him to work. In the same book of Romans and the same chapter 8, can you see this beautiful thought in verse 19? For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The creation, Paul says, is waiting. Waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. If you think that's already happened, then we can just go outside to the garden today and say, here, we are here. Sons of God are here. The daughters of God are here. But Paul says, no. The creation is waiting. One day when they are presented one by one. So let us be like that now. Be ready that we are waiting for the adoption. Now, the fuller meaning is revealed in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Again, coupled with the idea, the purpose of God in verse 28. All things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called according to his purpose. And you see in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. This is it. The actual value in you and me is the image of Christ that we bear on our character. How much of the Lord Jesus Christ is in us? How much of the Lord Jesus and his beautiful, immaculate character can be seen in you and me is the most important thing in eternity. That is how we are going to enter into his eternity. So all what happens to us today as Christian believers are purposed in this direction, that it may bring into our lives the image and the character of the Lord Jesus. How unchrist-like we are today. This is the blame. This is the charge against us. We are not like Christ in our character. Please see John's Gospel. Come with me to chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. John says that was the glory. That was the glory that we saw in him. It was not the shining glory of the face. It was the glory of the character. He was full of grace and truth. Are we, dear brothers and sisters, full of grace and truth, wherever we may turn? We must see that among fellow believers. God will bring us into situations in which he will bring into our lives that character of the Lord Jesus, where we have realized we have failed. My dealings are not graceful. They are not truthful. I need to change this so that I could amend my ways. And I must now take the Lord Jesus Christ and his character. That's what finally, that is the glory that God is talking to us about. We are all waiting for the shining glory, somehow imagining that everything will be all right at the end. But that's not what God wants us to have. The beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beauty of his character. If you may, read Romans chapter 15, 1 to 7, and list out the three outstanding characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ that are explained by Paul the Apostle. They are amazing. Dear brothers and sisters, he did not please himself. Oh, all the time I find me pleasing myself. In the church also. In fellowship. In preaching. Everything I do. I want to please myself. If I am pleased, I think everything is okay. Everything seems to be right, good, in right order. But our Lord Jesus Christ did not please himself. That was the testimony that Paul was bringing before us in Romans chapter 15, 1 to 7. It was not well pleasing when people called him names, a gluttonous man, a wine bibber, a mad person. It was not well pleasing to him. He did not go to the congregation who gathered to listen to his message, and he did not come out saying, oh, I am fully satisfied, I am pleased. No, all the time they were around him and accusing him of various things and criticizing him. But he did not come to please himself. So please, let us remember that. In Romans 15, since we were in the Roman book of Romans, chapter 15, we find in verse 3, let me read from verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. This is an important truth. This is the character of Christ. And then as you read through, verse 5 tells us another characteristic. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. According to the example of Christ Jesus. We find it very difficult to be like-minded with another brother or sister. I have a lot of experience, of years of experience. What can the newcomer tell me? Newcomer is supposed to make mistakes all the time. I'm not supposed to listen to him. But our Lord Jesus so patiently, graciously, 3.5 years of teaching, the disciples on the final night, when the Lord Jesus said, those who do not have a sword, please go and sell your coat and buy one. Peter ran, the best of the disciples, and brought two swords. And said, Lord, I have two. Not written in the Bible, but what he meant was, one for me and one for you. None for the others. That's what it is. Dear brothers and sisters, all the teaching, the beautiful spiritual teaching from the mouth of this great Son of God, the best teacher ever lived on the face of the earth, has not brought anything, finally. But the Lord Jesus was willing to work with them. And the Lord Jesus said, you are my friends. You are my friends. So we learn humility out of that. So, dear brothers and sisters, these are the things, the character of the Lord Jesus. It is the spiritual character. Look at then, as we read verse 7. Wherefore receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So, it is the next one, receiving one another. Receiving one another. We are sometimes very exclusive. And sometimes we are known by that name also because we are so zealous regarding the truth of the Word of God. And we are so exclusive. But the Lord Jesus was willing to receive people, greet others, and to receive them and to help them receive you one another. So, that is the second purpose of God as I see it in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Having predestinated us, that means eternal purpose. He saved whom he had elected. Then number 2, he predestinated us to the adoption of children, bringing many sons unto glory. We must grow. Oh, yes, yes. Have you sung that beautiful chorus? Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wondrous compassions and purity. O thou Savior divine, all my nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. This should be our prayer. I believe we should sing this chorus every morning. Oh Lord, till the beauty of Jesus is seen in me. May the Lord renew, refine my nature, refine my nature. We are filled with ourselves. We must have the Lord Jesus to show to the world. So that is the second. Then we move on to the third. We are going higher and higher as Paul is leading us in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, having or being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So there we are told that we have received an inheritance. How? Being predestinated. We have obtained an inheritance. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So God is like a rich father. Before we were born, before we were ever created, God planned that he should give us an inheritance. That is an eternal purpose of God. Whom he has elected, he will save. And he will also plan to publicly adopt us, public proclamation of our sonship one day. And then also to give us an inheritance to enjoy. Now immediately our mind goes to 1 Peter chapter 1, where we are told that we have an inheritance that is reserved in heaven for you. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the inheritance that God has given us today. Now, to make our spiritual lives rich, we need to have them, we need to know them, we need to have them, we need to show them, we need to share them with others. These are the things that were later named by Paul the Apostle in the same book, Ephesians 3:8, as the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul says, this is my calling. This is my calling, Paul says. God has called me to do this one thing. To preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is what we have to tell, to give others. The unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus. We cannot help it but remember the elder son. In the story of the two sons, Luke 15, what a badly mistaken person he was. He said, Father, all these years I have served you so faithfully, but you have not given me even a kid that I may enjoy with my friends. Here is a poor rich man. A poor rich man who was not able to even become a blessing to his friends. If the friends met him on the road, okay, Thanksgiving is coming. We are going to come. Friend, we heard that your younger brother went away after taking all the money, and we are coming to visit you just to comfort you. He would have said, okay, but this Thanksgiving, there'll be no turkey. Only vegetables, because my father has not given me even a kid. Nothing. Poor man. Staying at home? Yes. In the father's house? Yes. This was the very reason why the Lord Jesus told that parable. Luke 15. No one went anywhere. Younger son or the elder son. All of them were in the audience of the Lord Jesus. The sinner and the publican and the Pharisee and the scribe. Those are the two groups. We find the people who sat with the Bible in the Father's house, but still continuing to be poor people, not enjoying the riches. I think you need to see this. Luke chapter 15, please. This one line. How beautiful this is, but how badly mistaken this man was. Luke chapter 15, verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Did you notice that word, them? It was not only as commonly believed by man that inheritance was given to the younger son. No. For when the younger son requested his portion, he called both of them and divided his inheritance. Actually, the elder son got double portion. That was the custom of the day. He divided the whole property into three and gave two portions to the elder son, one portion to the younger son. Younger son took everything that fell unto him. He went into a far country and wasted everything in riotous living. But let me ask you the question, what did the elder son do? He did nothing. He did nothing with his inheritance. He was still a servant in the father's house. He was not able to make even his friends happy, because he lacked in the enjoyment of the inheritance. He couldn't get himself to believe this. This is what has happened to us, dear brothers and sisters. We can't get ourselves to believe that the Father has given us the inheritance to enjoy and to share with others. We continue as paupers. But we read the list of the great inheritance that God has given us to enjoy now. This is not the time to go through the whole list, but let me give you some examples that we have the riches of His grace. Riches of His grace, Ephesians 1:7. Then the riches of His merciful kindness, Psalm 117 and verse 2. And then we have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. 1 Peter 1:9. These are wonderful things. Peace of God which passeth all understanding. Philippians 4:7. Do we have that? Dear brothers and sisters, are we enjoying this? And the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. Ephesians 1:19. Do we have that? And the love which passeth all knowledge. Ephesians 3:19. Do we have that? And the glorious liberty of the children of God. Do we have that liberty? Romans 8:21. One after the other, God has given us these eternal riches that we should enjoy. Where is peace? Where is joy? Where is hope? Which is the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. Please, list them out one by one, and see what God has prepared for us, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man, what God has prepared for them that love him. This is the situation. This is very true. We have neglected them far enough, long enough. We need to get them back. Enjoy. Come into the Father's house. Father has given us the double portion of the inheritance as people who sit there in the Father's house. So, take them one by one. At least I have counted up to 12 of them that we should daily enjoy. Daily enjoy on a daily basis so that we could share with others. Others could notice, oh, this kind of joy? My peace I give you, the Lord Jesus said. Just imagine. That is John 14:27. My peace I give you. That is the peace that was in the heart of the Lord Jesus. What kind of peace that must have been? All knowing, having everything, sovereign, no one to compete with him. He's having full authority. What kind of peace that he must be having? And he says, my peace I give unto you. It is not the human kind of peace. So that is why Paul says, peace of God which passeth all understanding. Yes. Everything is in abundance, you find in those list of things. Riches of his grace. See, everything is in abundance. Exceeding greatness of his power to usward. This power in Ephesians 1:19, we need to say a word about it. Many people today talk about the power of the Holy Spirit of God, without realizing that it is actually the power of resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ brought to us by the Holy Spirit of God and given to us. Our Lord Jesus said, the Spirit of God, when he comes, he will not speak of himself. He will receive the things of mine and show them to you. So everything that the Spirit of God has given today to us is from the Lord Jesus, brought to us by the Holy Spirit of God. So when it speaks to us of power, it is the power of resurrection. In fact, that is the only power that is available for the believer. The power of resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministered to us by the Holy Spirit. So, we have in Ephesians chapter 1, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. Oh, hallelujah, we must say. Yes, we have obtained an inheritance. Being predestinated. God thought about it beforehand. I will make my people rich. I know from rich fathers, earthly fathers, when they are wife would come and tell to his ear, I am with a child. I am going to get a child. I am pregnant. The child father is so happy. Because they are rich. He will go about finding land and property and houses. So people ask him, why do you want? You have already a big house. You want another house? He will say, no, I am going to get a child. I am preparing the inheritance for that person coming. You see, that is how the rich fathers of the earth will act. What about our God, our rich heavenly Father? He has prepared everything from eternity past. So now, Paul says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. So, let us go to heaven and see the heavenly inheritance, which fadeth not away, which is reserved in heaven for you. That we will see later. But we have to now be fully engaged with the present day inheritance. And then we have also, dear brothers and sisters, Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, in verse 22, the fourth aspect of the eternal purpose of God. Verse 22, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. this habitation of God, us becoming the habitation of God, we are being built up as you also are builded together for an habitation of God, is an eternal purpose of God. We find it completed when we come to the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and verse 3. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. Accomplished. That is the end. Eternity begun. Finally, God has found his eternity. Where is it? In the midst of his people. This is amazing. This is an eternal purpose. This is what God was waiting for. Adam, where art thou? In the cool of the day, he came into the garden. And he was hiding. The purpose of God can be delayed, but it cannot be nullified. It will be accomplished. Finally, in the book of Revelation, it is fully accomplished. And today, as we gather together to break bread and to remember the Lord and to worship the Lord, we are giving that opportunity to the Lord to have a foretaste of that, so to say. Yes, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. This time in the coming conference in Columbus that we are going to have from the 26th of this month, the theme is, let them make me a sanctuary. Exodus 25:8. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. That is it. Having brought them out of Egypt, in the wilderness, God is revealing his heart to Moses. He says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. This God has been thinking and planning that he may dwell among us. So the Lord Jesus comes later and says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And Paul now is bringing it far more gloriously. We find with a way that we can practically now understand how it happens in verse 22. In whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We must experience this today. Finally, in Revelation 21:3, he will complete it. But today we must know that he dwells among his people when we gather together. We form we build the house of God. As lively stones, we are builded together as a spiritual house. 1 Peter 2:5. We are builded together. Now, as a spiritual house. So this is wonderful. We are fulfilling the purpose of God. Eternal purpose of God. Let me finish. Just touch the fifth one and then it will be over. The fifth eternal purpose of God. Where the word eternal purpose is exactly mentioned there. In Ephesians chapter 3, please. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. This is something very, very special and remarkable. From verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. What was that? The Spirit of God is telling us God had an eternal purpose. What was that? In verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. God's ways are past finding out. God wanted, he thought, he will show his manifold wisdom to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, the angelic beings, his manifold wisdom by the church. So today, God is teaching the angelic beings. We don't realize this. So every move is very important for us. Every step becoming now important because we have become an object lesson to someone else, extraterrestrials. Dear brothers and sisters, they are watching. Yes, angels desire to look at these things. We are made a spectacle unto angels, Paul says. So they are looking over us. And God says, come here, angels, come here. And even the principalities and powers have a reference to the devil and his angels. They will have no victory when they see the manifold wisdom of God. How God will call them, look at my wisdom. How my children, by the church, that's what it is. By the church, how they recognize the headship of the Lord Jesus, the lordship of the Lord Jesus, loving one another, preferring one another, submitting to one another, praying for one another. Oh, all those one another's, dear brothers and sisters, angels are seeing this, and that is fellowship. And we need to be mindful of this. We are exhibiting the manifold wisdom of God to the principalities and powers. This is something that God will not ever give up or bargain with, because it is one of his eternal purposes. Verse 11 says, according to the eternal purpose, he purposed in Christ Jesus. He wanted to do this and he's doing it today. And we have to be careful. We need to know this. It's happening today. Shall we pray? Gracious, loving Father, we are open before thee, Lord, this day. Lord, thou hast saved us according to thy purpose and grace. Lord, we want, we desire with all our heart, we want thy purposes to be fulfilled in our lives and through our lives. Lord, we have looked at some scriptures today and just begun to understand or to remind ourselves of these aspects of the eternal purpose of God. Will thou, Lord, bring them right into our hearts today so that we may be moved and inspired and motivated by the same. Lord, there is no other purpose of our living other than to fulfill thy eternal purpose in our lives. So here we are, Lord. Help us to be yielded unto thee. The Spirit of God may lead us, and things that are contrary to this purpose of God may be taken out of the way. Amen. And we may move forward victoriously. Lord, make this our prayer very genuine. We give ourselves into thy hands with thanksgiving. In the name of our loving Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, brothers.